Chapter 28, Singapore, Here I Come. When I got back to Paris, I guess that I was in the traveling mood and started thinking about what my Dutch friends had mentioned to me about Singapore, and that was, Brad, if you ever get a chance to go to Singapore, do it. It's the coolest place. And right then and there, spur of the moment, I decided to go to Singapore. And so without hesitation, I went to a travel agent, bought a ticket, and away I went. Once I arrived at Changi Airport, I took a taxi to wherever in the city, got out of the cab, walked around a bit, and took practically the first room that I saw. I mean, again, since I didn't know the place anyway, one place was as good as another. It was a little guest house type of place that had small dark rooms with ceiling fans. It had a feel of the Orient to it, and hence that old Asian seed had been planted, and I say that because I am still here in Southeast Asia some 35 years later, albeit in Thailand, and from where I type these words. Singapore was just how my Dutch photographer friends described it. Totally cool, totally fascinating, totally different. I mean, if I thought that France was different, Singapore was different on steroids and had an atmosphere that was like nothing I'd ever experienced. It was a place that made me feel like I've never felt. That's what moving to the Orient did for me. I mean, Europe was different, but Asia was way different. It was a thrill, or better yet, a rush, just being there. Moving to new and strange countries was my addiction, and the more different, the better. I didn't have to do anything to feel the high except be there. And Singapore, with its totally fascinating culture and totally different feel, sure as hell did it for me. Thanks, Dutch couple. Hell, I was in Asia for quite Christ's sakes, and again, it was a perfect fit. The people were friendly, the city was beautiful, Miami Beach-type weather, nice beaches, beautiful architecture, and best of all, very Asian. And no description of Singapore in those days would be complete if I didn't mention the world-famous Raffles Hotel. It was synonymous with Singapore. When I was there, I got to witness the original Raffles Hotel with all the ghosts of the past, and I'm grateful to have seen it when I did. It has since been refurbished, and I suppose it is now ghost-free. What a pity. Just like Nice and Paris before, I was in love with Singapore, and without question, she was my new fancy. I would eventually move to New York, then to Hong Kong, and after that, Bangkok, then Miami Beach, then to LA, then Barcelona, and back to Bangkok. And I would absolutely love living in every single one of those places, and I was one hell of a happy camper. As soon as I got to Singapore, I wasted no time getting signed by a model agency and started getting work almost immediately. That first week in Singapore, I got a part in a commercial with a bunch of other people advertising Singapore's Changi Airport, and I can still remember the jingle, "You get more change at Changi, you get more change at Changi." The filming consisted of around 20 people dancing around the airport singing that jingle. That was over 30 years ago, and I remember it like it was, well, you know. You get more change at Changi, you get more change at Changi. From day one, I went out every night and sat in some food court eating the tastiest food and soaking up the tastiest atmosphere that you could imagine. You know, I try to describe it here, but again, I can't. It just wouldn't do it justice. I mean, the food that I was eating in these little outdoor food courts was as good and as different as any food that I'd ever tasted. It was served on a paper plate with zero fanfare and was dirt cheap. Singapore is a real melting pot of Chinese culture, Indian culture, and Malay culture, and each culture offered its own fantastic and unique food, so I was eating completely different cuisine every single night. Yes, I was in heaven once again. I was totally thrilled to be doing what I was doing, which was simply going out to eat and soaking it all up. Now, that's a cheap thrill if I ever had one. I spent my time going to castings for modeling and acting jobs, and when I wasn't doing that, I was checking out every single inch of Singapore, either on my skates or on foot. I also spent a lot of my days on the beach, which was dynamite. The beach was really nice and a great place to hang out, as there were restaurants and shops down there, plus all those cute Chinese girls hanging around, so it was a natural place for me to hang out, which is exactly what I did. I was getting a lot of modeling work as they were shooting lots of hotel brochures and were always looking to cast a Western businessman type. So I'd put on my Brooks Brothers suit, give them my businessman look, and more often than not, I'd get the job. I guess all that practice of acting like a stockbroker in Chicago paid off after all. Living and working in Singapore was such a blessing, and I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity. Hell, a year and a half prior, I'd never even heard of Singapore, and now here I was living there, and I was a part of it. You know, I never thought of myself as being fortunate at that time, as I was just living my life, but in retrospect, I now realize that I was living a fairy tale existence. I was living in all of these faraway, wonderful places, doing work that I loved, and was a part of it all. And little did I know that that trip to Singapore would plant the seed that was to shape my destiny, and all because of that Dutch couple who did some test shots of me in Paris that day. On the following page is a shot of me in Singapore with my trusty cigar, taken by a very cool German guy by the name of Ingo, whom I had met early on in Singapore. Lastly, I got the following info via the Raffles Hotel online from raffles.com, plus an old photo of the place. Raffles. When pioneering hotelier Tigran Sarkis and his three ambitious brothers opened the doors of Raffles Singapore in December 1887, they had a daring vision to create a truly unique grand hotel with fine accommodation, excellent food, and impeccable service. Raffles Singapore quickly established itself as the only place to be, quote-unquote, famous for its elegant cocktail parties, fancy dress balls, weddings, and royal ceremonies. As the book reveals, the word was out. Raffles became a sought-after destination. Many famous writers, poets, and artists have graced the hallowed halls of Raffles and found endless inspiration there since 1887. Novelist Joseph Conrad and Rudyard Kipling were some of the hotel's first guests, and British actor and playwright Noel Coward was a frequent resident for over 40 years. W. Somerset Maugham loved to sit in the shade of the hotel's fragrant Frankapani tree to edit his manuscripts, and famously quoted, "Raffles stands for all the fables of the exotic East." Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist James A. Michener wrote, "To have been young and had a room at Raffles was life at its best." To this day, Raffles' legendary writer's bar and the charming bedtime stories placed upon each guest's pillows every day, every evening, pay tribute to its rich literary history. And that, my friends, is the end of chapter.